That's an amazing congregation right there. You're the best, and just so thankful for you and serving Jesus with you. We love you and just thank you so much. I look at those pictures and see the faces and so many others and just know how blessed that we are to serve together. Well, it has happened 14 times in North Texas since May. 14 times the last 11 months. 14 pastors of churches in North Texas have resigned or been fired because of leadership failures. Most of them from mega churches affecting more than 50,000 members. The failures have been moral failures. They have been affairs. They've been abusing children. They've been misusing church funds. There's been pride. There's been anger. There's been abusing power, misusing authority. So much is affected when there is a failure of spiritual leadership. We're now into week number 9 of our 10-week series, The Lessons We Learned from the Wilderness. The wilderness period was from the Israelites when they crossed the Red Sea, but before they entered the Promised Land, 40 years. It's supposed to be only an 11-day journey. It took them 40 years because they kept being disobedient. And so during those 40 years, God taught His children some lessons, and we're learning those lessons as a church family. We're applying those lessons in a couple of different ways. We're applying them individually. How can we be different from what we learn? But also, we're applying them congregationally. We're in a season of the legacy building campaign and building a new building. And how do we apply what God taught them to our congregation as well during this season? So we're looking at both. God taught them things about Himself, His character and His nature and who He is. He taught them things about themselves, things they weren't aware of that He pointed out. He taught them trust. He taught them how to be the people of God and how do you live so that the Lord is God in your life. There have been lessons on trust with manna, that every day you trust, and that was their lesson of the manna. Lesson of undermining authority and lesson of rejecting God's plan. Lessons of fear and disobedience. And a lot of lessons on complaining. Seems like that's all I've talked about lately, isn't it? Three different lessons just on griping and complaining. Pastor, you sure talk about that a lot the last few weeks. Well, that's because God talked about it a lot, because the people did it a lot. But this morning is different. This morning we see that the people aren't the only ones that failed. So did the leaders. So if I've been preaching to you the last several weeks, today I preach at me and our ministers. And our staff, and our deacons, and our teachers, leaders of ministries. This is to us. Read with me Numbers 20, verse 1. And the people of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, doesn't tell us what year, just says the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. Now there was no water for the congregation, and they assembled themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Would that we had perished when our brothers perished before the Lord. Why have you brought the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness that we should die here, both we and our cattle? And why have you made us come out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is no place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, and there's no water to drink." And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting and fell on their faces. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take the staff and assemble the congregation, you and Aaron your brother, and tell the rock before their eyes to yield its water. So you shall bring water out of the rock for them and give drink to the congregation and their cattle. And Moses took the staff from the Lord as he commanded him. Then Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, shall we bring water for you out of this rock?" And Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with his staff twice, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank and their livestock. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not believe in me to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given them. These are the waters of Meribah, where the people of Israel quarreled with the Lord, and through them he showed himself holy." Well, since last week, it's been 37 years. Been a long week, hasn't it? 37 years since last Sunday morning when I preached to you about Korah's rebellion and Dathan and Abiram and the 250 that were incinerated as they were challenging the leadership of Moses. That was last Sunday morning. 37 years later, we come to our passage. So, let's look at what's going on. Number one on your outline, first of all, the back to Kadesh Barnea. Here's what was happening. God's people were enslaved in Egypt, and they cried out for a deliverer. God sent Moses, and Moses raised his staff. The waters parted. They went across on dry ground. The waters closed together over the Egyptian army, and there they are before the wilderness on their way to the promised land. So immediately they left the Red Sea crossing, and they went to a place called Sinai, and it took them 8 months to get to Sinai. They stayed at Sinai for a year. After Sinai, they went then to a place called Kadesh Barnea, which is on the edge of the promised land. This is the land God had promised all the way back to Abraham. It was theirs. God promised it. All they had to do, very simple, go in and take it. That's all. They got there, and they got scared. Because you see, people lived in the land. They had to displace the people. They were the Canaanites. And they thought, I don't know if we can defeat them or not. We've been this ragtag bunch out in the wilderness. We're not really an army. But God's promised it. I don't know if we can take it or not. So let's send spies out to see what the land's like. And they sent spies in, 12 of them, and 10 of them came back and said, "Nope, can't do it. Those people are big. The giants. Bigfoot lives there. I mean, it's a scary place." And they were disobedient. They turned back around and went back into the wilderness for 37 years. Now, the Bible does not record what they did for 37 years. We don't know. All of these passages I've been reading you, short period of those 40 years. 37 of the 40, we have no clue what they did. It's not recorded. So they left Kadesh Barnea instead of going into the land, and they wandered for 37 years. After 37 years, they go back to Kadesh Barnea. And that's where our passage is today. And then a year later, they leave Kadesh Barnea and go to the promised land and take over the land. So that's the 40-year journey. Four stages. From the Red Sea, first stage, number one, from the Red Sea to Sinai. Stage two, Sinai to Kadesh Barnea. Stage three, Kadesh Barnea, 37 years back to Kadesh Barnea. Stage four, Promised Land. First two stages started in triumph, ended in tragedy. Last two stages started in tragedy, ended in triumph. You see the land laid out before you. So this morning, we're at Kadesh Barnea for the second time. It's been 37 years. 37 years ago when they came, they stopped just outside of Kadesh at a place called Massah, but they renamed it Meribah, which meant contention, fighting, because they got there and it didn't go well. They were thirsty, it was hot, didn't have any water, and they cried after Moses, and God told Moses, "Take your staff and you strike the rock once, and water will come out." He did that, and water came out. Here are a couple of pictures I want to show you. First of all is Kadesh Barnea. Here's a picture today of what Kadesh looks like. You see, it's kind of an oasis. You see in the middle of the desert there, it's the greenery and the valley there. Just beyond the valley where those mountains are, that's Israel. That's the promised land. So they came to Kadesh, didn't quite have the faith to go in, so they turned around and went back. Now let's look at Horeb or Massah. Here are the pictures of the rock. That is traditionally, now we don't know for sure, tradition says that's the rock Moses struck with the water and water gushed out of it and watered all the people and all the cattle. So now we're back at Kadesh for the second time. Go to number 2 on your outline, verses 2 through 11, Moses' failure. So they got to Kadesh the second time and they're thirsty again. And the people began to grumble again. Now, I want you to notice something. When they were here 37 years ago, the people complained to Moses and Aaron that God wasn't being fair and they're terrible leaders, and they rose up their voices against God. Now, 37 years later, the people who griped have died. Most of them, not all of them, most of them. And these are their kids. And they're acting exactly like their parents. 37 years later, you can't tell any difference. Folks, be careful with the spiritual heritage you're raising. They usually turn out like you. So wherever you are with God, they probably won't exceed that. Maybe. There are exceptions. But for the most part, what you were like, they'll be like. And they said the exact same thing. The Bible said they rose up their voices and contended with Moses and Aaron. Some of your translations say complained, some say grumbled. The word contended there is interesting in Hebrew. It's the word riv, which is it's a lawsuit. We're bringing a formal complaint. God used the word often through the prophets. God has a lawsuit against his people. Did the same thing here. They're bringing a formal complaint. God, we don't like our leaders. They're terrible. We've been out here 38 years and more and nothing. You promised us a land flowing with milk and honey. We've not seen one grape or one fig or one pomegranate or no grain or no. And we're thirsty. We've seen nothing. This place you brought us to out of Egypt is evil. Hold on a second. Their vision was clouded by their complaints because the wilderness was a place God proved his faithfulness every day with that manna. And rather than seeing the wilderness as a place where God provides, they saw it as a place where problems and it's evil and terrible. Sometimes we do the same. Rather than looking at our lives and how God has provided for us, we look at everything that's wrong. Everything he could be doing better and why my life is terrible. And you don't see how God has provided for you up to this point. And then what they said next, outrageous. They said, Moses and Aaron, we identify with our brothers. I wish we'd perish with them. Hold on a second. Who are they talking about? They were talking about Korah and Dathan and Abiram. You remember a couple of Sundays ago, Dathan and Abiram and Korah, they rose up and they challenged Moses. And as a result, God punished by an earthquake happening and the ground opening up. And they fell in alive, they and their children and their families. And the ground closed back together. And the 250 were incinerated with fire. And they're saying, I wish we'd been there and died with them. Whew. That wilderness will cloud your vision if you don't watch it. And you don't see what God has done. They were so angry at Moses and Aaron. And Moses and Aaron had enough. The Bible said Moses and Aaron went and fell on their faces before God, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And God spoke to Moses and said, Moses, here's what I want you to do. Last time you struck the rock with your staff, this time I want you to take your staff. I want you to assemble the congregation. I want you to take your brother Aaron with you. And I want you to speak to the rock, not to the people, to the rock. Talk to it and say, water, come out. And the rock will yield water, and they and their cattle will drink. Got it? So Moses took his staff and went toward the people. The same staff, by the way, that whenever he touched the Nile River, it turned to blood in Egypt. The very same staff that he held up and the waters parted and they went across on dry ground, and he turned around and he held it up again and the waters came back together and drowned the Egyptian army. The very same staff that he struck the rock once last time and water gushed out. Was he starting to trust the staff instead of God? Was he trusting the rod or God? Sometimes we can trust the form instead of the one who empowers the form. There was nothing magical about this staff. But sometimes we do the same. If we try something and it works, oh my goodness, that's the key. That's the program that does it. No, God empowered that program to do it. It's not the program. It's not your class. It's not the ministry. It's not the form. It's the God who empowers the form. So he took the staff, went before the people, assembled them all, and said, okay, aren't you a bunch of yahoos? Bunch of degenerates and rebels and reprobates? Hold on. That doesn't sound like Moses. I mean, for weeks now, Moses has been attacked, and he doesn't say anything. He just goes to God, and in fact, it's written a couple of weeks ago, he's the most meek man ever on the face of the earth. What's he doing? He gets the staff. He's had enough. Aren't you a bunch of rebels? Listen up. Are we going to have to bring water out of this rock again for you? Me and Aaron? He didn't say God. He said, we're going to have to do that again. When are you ever going to stop believing? What's wrong with you? And he takes the staff and raises his hand and whacks the rock. God didn't tell him to whack the rock. He said, talk to it. And he twice, boom, does it again. And God didn't tell him to do that. God didn't tell him to speak to the people. Speak to the rock. Don't strike it. Talk to it. And Moses, in his anger, struck it. Well, it worked last time. Probably work again. Folks, be careful. Be careful of doing the same things over and over and over because it worked in the past. When God tells you to do something different. You see, we as Baptists, if we do something and it works, we'll do it 40 years in a row. We will. Don't keep doing something, even if it worked, if God tells you to do something different. Well, because God's good and because He's gracious, water, even though Moses failed, water gushed out of that rock the second time. And the people drank and the cattle drank. God uses imperfect vessels to still do His will. And I'm so glad, because you wouldn't have a pastor here if perfection was expected. You wouldn't have any leaders in this church if God waited for perfection for a person to lead. He uses imperfect vessels. You, me. But yet, there are consequences to our failures. So go to number 3 on your outline. consequences. After Moses struck the rock in anger and the water came out, God spoke to Moses and Aaron, and here's what he said. Because you did not believe me to uphold me as holy before the people, therefore you shall not bring them into the promised land that I've given them. Moses, you're going to stop short of fulfilling the job. 40 years, you're going to fall just shy because you disobeyed. And sure enough, the people left Kadesh Barnea, and the next year they went into the promised land, and just before they got there on the Transjordan Plateau, which is now Jordan, God took Moses up to Mount Nebo, and he said, I'll let you see it, but you can't go in. I'll let you see it. He saw it. Moses died. And God buried him. Nobody knows where. Probably because people would, as we are, probably go worship the tomb. So nobody knows where it is. God buried Moses. There are always consequences to spiritual leadership failures. Always. So, what was Moses' sin that was so bad he didn't go to go in the promised land? Well, we don't really know. We're told several things in the passages. In fact, there are about 6 different things that theologians have identified that said, that's the sin. So what was the sin? What are those 6? Well, first one's disobedience. So a lot of people say, well, Moses was disobedient to God. He didn't do what God told him to do. God said, he didn't say speak to the people. He didn't say lecture them, criticize them, blast them. He said, talk to the rock. Don't strike the rock. And he lashed out at the people and struck the rock. Disobedience. But some say there's a second reason why, and that's anger. But you can tell his exasperated speech and the words that he was using. He was mad when he said, listen to me, you rebels. Struck the rock. Anger. How's your anger as a leader? Third, some people say, well, it was bitterness in his heart. How do we know that? We're actually told that. Psalm 106 recounts this incident. And it says, the people made his spirit bitter. Psalm 106, verse 33. Not only that, there's a clue in the wording he used. You remember when he says, listen up, you rebels? The word rebel that he uses there in the Hebrew is mara, which is bitter. You remember when in Ruth, when Naomi says, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, bitter. So that clue comes out in what he said. There's bitterness here. But some say, number 4, that he failed to sanctify God as holy before the people. That's what God said. God said, Moses, you failed to sanctify me as holy before the people. When they see you, they should have seen somebody set apart. You remember Kadesh Barnea? You know what the name Kadesh means? Holy. And you fail, Moses, as a leader to set me as holy. Moses, you made me look like any other petulant, moody foreign deity. Be careful. Be careful, leaders, how you represent God to the people. And not only that, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4, talking about this incident, that the rock that was struck was Christ. And what he gives out is life. Was Moses, we don't know this, but was Moses, because of what Paul said, in some way disparaging God's provision of Christ? I don't know. But there was a fifth reason, some people say, why Moses didn't get to go to the promised land. Rebellion, defiance against God. Moses knew what God said, and he didn't do it. Defiance. Because he was mad. Number 6, simple unbelief. God said, Moses, You did not believe me. So had Moses gotten to the point through 37 years of wandering and a year at Mount Sinai and through all this experience, had Moses gotten to the place he stopped believing God? Can you as a leader, can I as a leader, get to the place we just don't really believe God's going to do it anymore? We've been doing ministry for all these years. I just don't see it happening. Can we get that way? So, which one of those six was Moses' sin? Here's what I think. I think all six were just symptoms. Moses' deeper problem was in here. It was a heart posture that produced anger and bitterness and unbelief. Folks, I've seen ministers bitter toward the members. They've been at church so long, they're just bitter. And I'll be around them and we'll talk at pastors' meetings, and they just blast their members. I've seen leaders do that. We can develop a heart posture where symptoms come out. But the problem is our heart before God. So leaders of First Baptist Garland, be careful. We've talked for all of these weeks about the members and the congregation and complaining and grumbling and fearful and disobedient, undermining. But we as leaders can develop a heart posture against God and against them, but yet we keep showing up Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. So pastors, ministers, Pastor Greg, staff, deacons, leaders, teachers, don't develop a negative heart toward God. And sometimes a building program can do it. It's a good lesson for us. I know some of you have heard of a man by the name of G. Campbell Morgan. He was a preacher a long time ago. 1863 was when he was born in England. Ministered late 1800s and early 1900s. One Sunday morning at his church when he was a 10-year-old boy, D.L. Moody came and preached. And he was just so convicted and struck that he needed Jesus in his life and he needed to do what D.L. was doing. So at the age of 13, he began preaching. 13. He was a good one. G. Campbell Morgan went on to pastor Westminster Chapel in London. That was one of the great churches in London. He went on to pastor there 24 years. When he left, he passed it on to Martin Lloyd Jones, who was just as powerful as he was. It had been such a strong church. And he led out. And then he moved to America and went to Los Angeles and taught at Biola, the Biblical Institute of Los Angeles. Taught there as a professor. And then he went back to England before he died and was president of Chestnut College at Cambridge. His entire life he was a spiritual leader. So I want you to listen to what G. Campbell Morgan said about this passage. Quote, Moses acted rashly when he was emotionally vulnerable. Moses did not listen when God wanted him to do something different. Moses was annoyed when personally attacked. Moses acted in anger and misrepresented God. Listen to what he says next. Perhaps there's no other story in all the Old Testament that is as searching for those of us who are called to lead God's people as this passage. Because Moses failed. What Moses did was natural. Anybody would have the same response. But that was the problem. He did what was natural in his flesh rather than supernatural God did through him. Lord, I thank you today for this passage and pray that we as leaders will never fail you, never fail the people. God, where spirits of unbelief and anger and bitterness and defiance arise. Father, would you remove those, and may we have a heart like Christ. May we not strike the rock just because it's worked before when you tell us to do something else. Father, may we follow you and love you so much that our love for the people is apparent, even though they may be the complainers, the grumblers. So, Father, may we be faithful as the leaders of this church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.